Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, back on the Jeff Cock and Charlotte Steelers, Chris Harrington. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Plenty of My Love, the biggest hit by 1950s R&B singer Johnny Ace, who was born on this day in Memphis, Tennessee in 1929.
All right, so we got the news over the weekend that Zach Edey needs surgery on his ankle. This wasn't a Steven Adams-level bummer when we got the news right before the season 2 years ago, three, whatever it was now. What are we dealing with? But this was a bummer. Your thoughts on the injury?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think there are at least sort of three angles on this of interest or concern. I mean, the obvious one is, you know, they're going to start the season almost certainly without their starting center in the lineup, and you have to account for that already in a situation where Brandon Clark, who is expected to be ready for the start of camp, but Brandon Clark has never been a heavy minutes guy and has had his own injury stuff recently, and so I'd written this somewhere. I can't remember. I definitely had conversations about it with people. I thought the Grizzlies before this injury needed to add to or shake up their front court depth. That was more of a priority or more of an issue than maybe it was commonly thought. That's certainly even more true now with Edey being out. So there's the covering Edey's minutes, however many games he's going to miss to start the season. But to me, there's also sort of a longer term and a shorter term issue. The longer term is like, you know, this is a 7'4", 300-pound dude who's having ankle surgery.
Right.
And it is to some degree, I don't know if it's entirely selective. Like you phrased the question, if he needs ankle surgery, it's a little unclear whether he needs it is not a situation where it's not a situation where like you tore the Achilles, you have to get surgery. My understanding is that this is a surgery meant to, it's a sprained ankle. It's not like you couldn't rest on it and then play,
right.
But it's the fact that he has had this same ankle is sprained at least three times in the past year. And those multiple injuries have caused some, what is considered to be some lack of stability in the ligament. And that they think that his outcomes will be better going forward if he has this surgery to stabilize it. That having this surgery, it's not that he needs this surgery in order to play. It's that he needs this. They think the surgery will make future occurrences less likely. That it is in his best long term interest to do it. So there's that. But still, and the outcomes from what I gather, like Sam Merrill, who when he was with the Grizzlies had apparently the same surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sam Merrill is like a 6'4" dude or whatever, and so I think anytime you have a guy this big have some lower body injury surgery stuff, you have to worry about that a little bit long term. But there's also the even shorter term thing where the style of play that Tuomas Iisalo seems to want to play is predicated in part on the Zach Edey skill set. And Zach Edey was already the only player on the roster who has that skill set, which is why I thought maybe they needed to go add another player who plays a similar style. Well, now if you don't have him going into Isolo's first training camp, you wonder how that impacts, you know, the team's ability to sort of set up your style of play. You wonder if that has to alter your style of play. You wonder about the transition when he comes back. To me, it's pretty concerning in all kinds of ways.
Okay, let's just start with the injury real quick, though. So they said it's excessive ligament laxity was what the phrase used, and instability is another phrase. Beyond Sam Merrill, I didn't see, like, they didn't put a timeline on it, but everyone seems to acknowledge that he's going to miss the start of the season. Did you see any other comps? Were there a lot of comps out there for this? I didn't see a lot of comps out there for this.
I was told, right, Taj Gibson in the past has had a similar, yeah, surgery. I didn't have a time to really, right, go deep into looking for the similar. In fact, I don't even know the surgery. They didn't specify the surgery. Right. He's having ankle surgery to do this. So you don't always have to know what you're looking, yeah, for. But what I've sort of been told is that this type of surgery tends to have not only successful outcomes in the sense of, like, all surgeries are called successful,
right,
but in the sense that the outcomes are better going forward, that it does what it's meant to do, which is make the occurrences less frequent or less likely. But I mean, none of that stuff's ever guaranteed.
Yeah. It seems to me, it struck me as obviously for Grizzly fans at this point, and I know we all feel like we have a uniquely injury prone team and there's injuries everywhere. Look, you know, talk to me about New Orleans or wherever else. Like, lots of teams have had injuries, but there is another element to this. But then there's also, I'll be honest, as I looked at reasons for optimism and improvement in terms of next year, I thought, as much as any exterior fortifications obtained from beyond, it would be internal growth from Zach Edey and Jalen Wells, but in particularly Zach Edey. Like, now you've got a summer of where he's not presumably working on his game in the way that he should be, and then he's not going to be unleashed at the start of the season. So I found that to be, it was a little bit like we came out of the year before with high hopes for Gigi and Vince, and then they both were sidelined by injury. I don't know when Gigi's happened, but it feels a little, there's a resonance there too.
Yeah, but this one more so, because I mean, Zach Edey was a top 10 pick who was a starter on a playoff team.
Right.
I mean, that was not true of Gigi Jackson or Vince Williams. And not only had he proven more given the context of the basketball he played, he was being expected, more was expected of him. Like, even before the injury to Gigi Jackson or Vince Williams, we weren't sure what the roles were,
right,
going to be. Like, we know what Zach Edey's role was going to be, and now it won't be. And so, you know, again, there are all kinds of questions there. There's the question of, like, what are you installing? There's the question of when will he be back? There's the longer-term question. There is, as you point out, the team did not specify a timetable. My understanding, which is what Sham Sharani also reported it, is that it is highly likely he misses the start to the season. But, like, what does that mean, right? Like, I've seen people speculate February, but that's, like, total speculation. My sense is that it's not expected to prevent him from playing most of the season. Obviously, like, other things could happen that could prevent you from playing most of the season, but my expectation or my sense is that this is not something they're expecting to cost him. They're not expecting this to prevent him from playing most of the season, but it doesn't. He's not going to be there opening night, it doesn't sound like.
Brandon Clark was a PCL, right? It was a PCL injury for which he did not get surgery, but got injections after consulting multiple doctors. Is that, that's your understanding of Brandon Clark, but he is supposed to be healthy by the start of the year?
Yeah, I don't know if I know for certain on the injection thing. I don't know whether someone said that publicly, so I'm not sure where that's coming from. That, I'm not saying it's wrong.
It was an AP story report.
It was an AP report, yeah.
Okay. My understanding is that he is expected to be ready for the start of training camp. Yeah.
So, and then they got Jay Huff, and that's really That's really it, right? I mean, right now they still have Marvin Bagley. Like what?
Well, I mean, they don't have Marvin Bagley.
Oh, they would.
He's an unrestricted free agent.
Right. So, they would have to. So, okay. So, what are the options? What are the kind of band-aids that they could or fortify? Like, what are their vehicles for getting a better fortifications at center?
Well, the issue with that, and I wrote about this, and I'll have a piece coming up going out today. The problem with speculating about what the Grizzlies could or couldn't do is that it varies dramatically depending on what other things. It's so contingent on other stuff. And so if you operate on the assumption that everyone's been operating on, myself included, that they do a renegotiation and extension with Jaren Jackson, that's sort of the first fork in the road. So what's happening with that. But depending on which path that takes, the answers are radically different. If you assume that path, which is everyone's operating assumption, mine included, they don't have a lot of mechanisms. Like, and I write about this today, but like, if they do that, like they will have $30 million, $33 million in space below the luxury tax, but almost impossible to spend it because they don't have any mechanisms to do so. The largest free agency exception they'll have is the $8.8 million room exception. And other than that, it's just minimum contracts. And so you're looking at that or you're looking at trade. Well, to trade, you got to send stuff out. Now, you have the ability to take back more in salary than you send out, which is one way to spend some of that money. But if you're moving the Conchar deal as part of the clear space for the renegotiation, you know, I mean, what are you sending out, right? I mean, sending out Brandon Clark doesn't really help your issue in the front court. And so they're in a little bit of a tough spot. I mean, I think I could see them signing, you know, a cheaper free agent center. But the question is, if the 8.8 free agency exception is the most you had to spend before this injury, what were you planning to spend that on? Probably a wing, right? Are you going to now pivot and use that for a center? And so they're in a little bit of a tough spot.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, before the weekend, what would you have said? And you, again, you had already said that you did think that they needed some help at center. But what would you have said in terms of their order of priorities and additions this summer before this injury? And how has it changed now?
I think they had, if you're not going to radically shake up, you know, if you're not going to break up your core, right?
Yep.
I think they have needs at basically every position group. And let's call that guards, wings, and bigs to simplify it. It's called a three positions instead of five. I think there's a need at all three. And given that there's a need at all three, now again, maybe this is before the ED injury. Given that there was a need at all three, I think they were not going to like predetermine the position. They were going to get the best talent. I think they were going to look more at what's the best player we can get because we could use any kind of player rather than saying we have to have this specific thing. Now, the ED injury is such that like they do have to have – like I don't think you start the season with the current front court rotation. I you know, maybe that's, you know, a different kind of player other than Jay Huss who like fits the style better. I you know, it could just be like bringing back Bagley, you know, but or it could be signing someone else. But I think they have to add a center that is not Zach Edey, Brandon Clark, Jay Huss to the roster. I think that needed to happen anyway, but it's even more clear that needs to happen now.
And does Santi, a possible sign and trade with Santi, is that another mechanism?
Yeah, well, there are three. I'll do a separate thing on Santi. I'm going to write like a bunch of pieces over the next couple of weeks. I'll get into Santi separately probably later this week. But there's three paths with Santi. There is you just re-sign Santi, which is most likely, and bring him back. There is a sign and trade with Santi, but because he's a restricted free agent, it's harder to bring back more salary that way. You can bring back a different player or different stuff, but the idea of you're going to use trades to spend this money that you have to spend that you otherwise can't spend, right. It's hard to do that with Santi. The other thing with Santi, and I don't necessarily think this is likely, but they are in the peculiar case where you could just like let Santi go and actually use that money to sign somebody because they'll be operating under the cap. Like, that's not true if you're over the cap.
And how much money is that you're letting?
The cap hold is $11 million. So if you kept that cap hold on the books at $11 million and you cleared more space and you gave Jaren Jackson the extension, you could then decline Santi and have $11 million in space to just sign a player for $11 million. Now, can you sign a player for $11 million that's better than Santi Aldama in this free agent market? I actually don't think so. So I don't think that's a likely scenario.
All right. Well, that's a bit of a bummer. Oklahoma City did really what we sort of expected them to do in game one, in many ways, at least what I did, that they put away the Pacers pretty convincingly, a 19-2 run in the second quarter, and it became sort of coasting after that. Your thoughts on that tilt?
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of the game. I went out last night, so I saw just a little bit of the first quarter. But I don't think anyone was expecting, like, the Indiana Pacers to sweep this series, right? If anyone was going to sweep, it was going to be the Thunder, and that didn't happen after game one. So I think it would have been extremely surprising to see the Pacers win game two. To lose game two in Oklahoma City by, 16 points or whatever it was, seems like a pretty standard result. I'll be interested to see going back to Indiana. They got their split. There will be, I think, some level of home court advantage probably in Indiana. I'll be interested to see if the Pacers start to, narrow their rotation a little bit. They're still playing super deep and maybe not getting the best results, at least in game two, from doing so. So, are they going to shoot better at home? Are they going to tighten their rotation at home? I think the Thunder are the better team, and the Thunder are probably going to win the series. But I think it's close enough that I think the Pacers are going to get one at home. So I think we're looking at like a 6-game series at least.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Jeffrey, your thoughts on priorities. What would you have said the Grizzlies' priorities were? It is interesting to me. My son Peter always thought they needed, even heading into last year, he thought they needed more at the center position. And I think it has to, I hate to say this, this has to move. Doesn't this has to, here's the thing. If you're asking me what good things could happen with the guard group, I can come up with Ja can be healthy, Dez can be, whatever, can limit his turnovers. We saw Scottie Pippen.
I think Ja being healthy would help Dez at a very high level.
And so, the wings, and if you're saying what can happen with wings, well, Vince can get back and be healthy and be Vince. You know what I mean? Sure, Vince can be Vince, and Jalen Wells can get better. And, I can imagine good things happening at the wing position if Santi's back. I can't imagine with this current group, Brandon Clark, who doesn't play heavy minutes and is gimpy, whatever, is clearly at this point, and Jay Huff, who's a curiosity, a novelty, break glass in case of emergency, need a three-pointer, that's your center?
A depth guy, let's be real.
That's the one place where they do not have an answer, a deep depth guy. They've got a, and so for presumably, it doesn't sound like the obviously the time frame here is key. If you're talking about 5 games at the start of the season, that's one thing. If you're talking about getting to Christmas, right? That's another thing. But let's say it's to Christmas, right? Before you're going to see Zach Edey back, it's clearly your number one need.
Yeah, I guess the problem that I'm having is it still feels like the first question you have to answer is, what do you do about Jaren's contract?
Well, I think they're going to try to do. We know what they're going to try to do with Jaren's contract,
right? But so my question is, you and I suspect that it doesn't actually get done.
I don't really know. I have no idea.
You and I truly are speculating, but when we've talked it out, our gut instinct says.
My view is I think there's a lot of reason for him not to sign it, and I probably would not sign it. I can't predict what he's going to do, but either way, you will have more ways, oddly enough, if Jaren doesn't sign it, will have more mechanisms to get better than if he does sign it, right?
Right.
Than if he does do. But either way, whatever mechanisms you have, you will ultimately have a priority of needs. And my point is that the new priority has to be center, no matter whether Jaren signs it or doesn't sign. One way you're going to have different mechanisms to get better or to fortify yourself, but whether he signs it or doesn't sign it, don't you think it's true that your number one need now is center?
Yeah, because I think, to your point, you can talk yourself into, okay, maybe all of these guys that we just mentioned don't hit next season, but maybe if one or two do, you can solve that issue that way. It also probably seems to me that you're like, if Chris's instinct is correct of where can you get the best player, regardless of position, it does feel like there's going to be more options probably at center than
it feels like suddenly they have a lot of needs and they don't have a lot of assets. I mean, they do have future ones and stuff, but they don't have a lot of financial assets. And what the problem is that,
well, as we talked about last,
a lot recently, you gave up two number ones to get Marcus Smart and then another number one to get rid of Marcus Smart. You let Jake LaRavia walk out the door. You don't have a first this year, which you would, or like, I know some of you people didn't care about the first this year. You could draft another big. I mean, I don't know who's going to be there, where they would have drafted who's another big, but you could have drafted another big. Last year, you plugged your first round big right in the starting lineup. So they don't actually any longer have a lot of depth, and they don't have a lot of mechanisms to add to it. And so it is going to be an intriguing, but I think really tricky offseason for the Grizzlies. I think, as you point out, starting with the Jaren negotiation, but it is an incredibly tricky offseason for Zach Kleiman, and I'm really eager to see how he will.
I think the other aspect of this is, even though intellectually, like, you could understand it, we are seeing the problems of when you have three guys that command so much money, like, you don't have a ton of margin for error.
If you are thinking about selling your house, maybe you're thinking about taking a instant cash offer. There's a lot of reasons to do that. Well, you don't want to wait for your home to sell. You need to move in a hurry. You can't wait. You want to sell your house as is, and you don't want to worry about making expensive repairs. If this is a path you're thinking of following, you need to think hard about which offer to take. Most of them, let's be honest, are well below market value. And not every buyer is going to let you move on your own timeline. My friend Josh Heisaw with Keller Williams Realty will make sure you get a good deal. Josh's offer is for full market value, offers the same convenience as his unsolicited offers, but will pay you significantly more and up to 4 months to move out. Saves you a whole lot of stress. Josh is dedicated to making home buying easy. Saving you time, stress is his mission. Honestly, like, it just makes a lot of sense. Like, if you're going to go that route, you don't take a call from some random rando cold calling you on your phone. You call Josh Heisa on the team at Keller Williams Realty and you explore that route. You see what it'll look like for you. All you have to do is go to joshhasthebuyers.com. Got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm a father. Jeffrey's a father. And I got good Father's Day advice for you. O'Call. There it is. There's the Father's Day advice. Just go to O'Call. If you want, you could get a gift certificate. Because that way, the father in your life would be able to go to O'Call himself, which is a joy, and pick out what he wants. But you can also walk into O'Call and look around, and you will see shelves and tables of just stunningly beautiful clothes. And here's the thing. I've learned this, that if you have a piece of clothing that really gives you joy, sparks joy, when you put it on, makes you happy. Makes you happy the whole time you're wearing it. And you think about the person who gave it to you. It's really, like, it is, in fact, the perfect gift. And something for a father from O'Call is, in fact, the perfect gift. I was in there recently beefing up my summer wardrobe, which has gotten a little worn, and still, like, right now, I put on my, I went to an event last night, and I put on my Brack slacks, the most comfortable pants I've ever worn in my life, and a Peter Millar polo, and I gotta say, Claire, even I walked downstairs, she said, "You look handsome," and I said, "Yes, I probably do now," thanks to O'Call. It is O'Call. It is the advice that I have for Father's Day. For the fathers in your life, get yourself to Oak Hall. Jeffrey, we've started a new thing because it used to be an old thing. What did we call it? Take Five.
Jeff, we called it the Take Five.
Let's do that. Yeah, I was thinking of things I learned over the weekend, Jeffrey, and one thing I learned over the weekend was who punched Elon Musk and how he got his black eye. Let me ask you this. Did you, when the story emerged, you saw Elon's black eye, right? Or bruised face, yep. Whatever you want to call it. Did you, he said his son hit him.
Mm-hmm.
Did you believe that?
Not really, no.
You did not?
No.
Do you now know? Have you heard the story?
I've not.
Okay.
The problem is Elon has so many kids that, like, I was trying to do the math. I was like, well, which one could have actually punched him for a black eye?
It just sounded like the ran into the door excuse.
Correct.
That who used that? What Memphis Tiger was it who had the black eye? Anyway, way back when, who was it? Was it Coleman? Will Coleman gave the black eye? I'll Google it. Anyway, sounded like an excuse. But whatever. Like, he does have kids. He has whatever. So... And your point is, he's got a lot of kids, so there's some chance that a kid will hit you.
Right. I'm learning.
A kid
can
will
confirm.
Hit you. And a kid will have something they may have in their hand, a toy of some type, and all this, like that. It is not completely far-fetched. But now that we had the blow-up, and this is what happens. Once you have the blow-up with the people and they're no longer on your side,
yep.
They're
people
no
start
longer,
talking.
They're no longer covering for you.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So Steve Bannon... Steve Bannon is, and he was clashing with Musk before the blow up.
Always a trusted source.
Before the blow up. What he says happened is as follows. Okay?
All right.
What he says is Scott Bessent, who is the Secretary of the Treasury, he was calling out Elon Musk and saying, come on, Elon, you're a fraud. Like, you promised all these billions and billion dollars of savings, and you've saved us practically nothing. Like, it's ridiculous. You said you came breezing in here saying you're going to wave a wand and save all this magic money, and you didn't do it. You're a fraud. Like, this has not happened. Your Doge is a joke, and what happened is, at least according to Steve Bannon, is Musk then lowered his shoulders, ran at him, and Bessent uncorked the punch and hit him in the eye.
I mean, honestly, which
seems more likely, the kid theory or the choice Scott, two. The Treasury Secretary punched him in the eye?
Choice two, honestly.
I think so. So anyway, so that's one thing. That's one thing I learned over the weekend. Second thing I learned over the weekend. Another thing I learned. Oh, let's go to number two. Yeah, we got the College World Series. We got progress in the College World Series. And I don't know if you know this, but Jason and John, turns out that their radio show, they're secret baseball addicts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes their grasp of the facts can be a little loose. They thought after Ole Miss had been eliminated, they thought Ole Miss was still in it. And it was John, honestly, who thought Ole Miss was still in it. But they all picked teams, okay? They all picked teams. And to advance to the College World Series last week, Brad, shrewdly, he's got a baseball-playing son, he picked Arkansas.
Yep.
Let me tell you, who's in the College World Series?
Arkansas advanced.
Yeah, Arkansas did advance over the Tennessee Vols. By the way, when you look at the Tennessee Vols season, do you say, defending champions, success, man. They win 49 games. They're one shy of 50. They win 20 to start the year. They got the SEC Pitcher of the Year. Like, that's a good season? Or do you say, no, standard's so high now that when you start winning 20 games a year, you got your defense. Only getting to Omaha is a good season.
I can't sit there and go, especially now after you win a title, essentially, like,
does that, after you win a title, give you grace to not go to Omaha, or does that, it mean you only have now? You have
no.
To,
what I think the bigger problem is, right after you win a title, is now the price of everything goes up because you're like high profile, and so retaining your own guys, like, it just, I think it's going to be even harder and harder to like stack together multiple wins.
So good week, good year.
Yes, I think
so too. Good year for Tennessee. Anyway, so Brad picked Arkansas. Jason picked UTSA.
Yep. UTSA was in it on Friday night, or maybe that was Saturday night. They were in it on game one against UCLA, and then UCLA had a big comeback. They win, and then UCLA advanced yesterday, Saturday. That wasn't a bad pick.
But John picked Murray State, the Racers, and the suspense that remains is that Murray State plays Duke tonight.
6 p.m.
As you point out, they are an offensive juggernaut. 19
they
runs.
Swing yesterday. The stick.
And so we've mentioned softball, we've mentioned tennis, we've mentioned like all these sort of slightly under the radar sports, which are giving us these game sevens or the equivalent. This is fun, right? A little suspense. Let's say here.
If you are someone that likes watching baseball with offense, watch Murray State. They always deliver.
So there you go. That is happening. The SEC, which had 13 invited to the tournament, only two to the College World Series.
What, yeah, Jeff, no other conference has more than two. That's, of course, the talking point.
That's the talking point. No other conference has more than two.
Correct.
So there you go.
I guess technically Louisville and Duke. Duke could join Louisville today. Also, I just want to give a quick shout out to North Carolina before we go. Winning 18-2 in game one and then not advancing in a 3-game series, that's a special kind of pain. 18-2. Yikes.
Speaking of, by the way, under the radar, the Canadian Open is that was a what that I'm not no oh, that's okay. Not number three. This is a subtext of number two. This is a subset of number two.
We had a lot of flags.
We obviously got the U.S. Open now. What did you make of the Canadian Open?
The Canadian Open did not have a lot of juice. It was sleepy to begin with, But we also got Sam Burns.
Mm-hmm.
He goes out and fires a 62 early before anyone else, any of the leaders come in, and he posts a number. Ryan Fox, playing in the last group, has to birdie the 18th hole to force a playoff. And Jeff, he thinks he's left the putt short, but like it drips in on the very edge, and he forces the playoff. And then the playoff was some of the worst golf I think I've watched in a very long time. It was quite the pillow fight. Jeff, they just was like, hey, we're just going to keep playing 18 because this is where everybody's like congregated. So rather than going and finding other holes, they started cutting holes on the different parts of the green just to make it seem like that there was a new hole. It finally winds up with Ryan Fox hitting an unbelievable three wood in and basically
Pride of New Zealand.
Pride of New Zealand. Also, the New Zealand men's national soccer team was in attendance. They played in Toronto the night before, so they went around. They'd never met Ryan Fox. He'd never met them.
That was a fun little
scene.
But
that was just kind of cool. They were just like, they were riding for their guy.
That was a fun little scene. Okay, now go ahead. Now number three.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, I have you this question.
Okay.
Is the owner and trainer of Sovereignty,
okay,
are they soft, man? Are they regretting things today? Because here we have, they obviously win the Kentucky Derby, and then they win the Belmont. And you have to say, if they had simply run the Preakness as well. Now, Sovereignty is owned by Godolphin, which is the racing stable owned by Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, of course, who, as you know, but you may know him better known as the Emir of Dubai.
Okay.
Okay. Trained by Bill Mott. Why the hell would Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, better known as the Emir of Dubai, why the hell would he settle for two out of the three of the Triple Crown?
Okay,
that's so soft, isn't it?
I was unclear. If that is true, I'm with you. But I my understanding, and I could be totally wrong here, the horse racing governing body was the one that was like, no, you got to shut this down.
No. They told no. No.
Because I thought like there
they
was some type of testing.
Not? Is that true?
I thought well, that was and again, so, I'm admitting I could
if
have been
so,
wrong.
Then I am wrong. Maybe,
but I'm
maybe,
with you.
Maybe.
If I'm wrong, it's soft.
I think it's oh no, you're right.
Okay. No. I was like,
well,
I,
here you go. No. It's well,
it's muddied.
No. No. No, it's conservative management.
Okay.
It's conservative management.
It's load management.
It's management. It's
load
this is
managing
freaking load
the freaking
management.
Triple Crown. There are three races, people.
Mott said if we wouldn't have won today, we would have taken a lot of criticism. But it turned out good. A lot of times we make the wrong decision, but today it worked out well. No. Because you ran and won Saturday, you're taking or should be taking criticism because they just conservatively they wanted to give them 5 weeks between races. And so there you go. Now it's possible that he wouldn't have won Saturday. Of
right,
course.
Because he was clearly.
But this is a giant you're soft, man. This is load management of horses. Now, in fairness, horses die. Like you rarely see an NBA player just like they don't put up a curtain and have to put them down like they do horses, right? Like so maybe it's more appropriate.
But it's pretty unusual. Like it's happened.
It's soft, man.
But like it's pretty unusual at the Triple Crown thoroughbred level. Like
I'd use the P word if I mm-hmm. said the P word, but
yeah, of course.
I don't. I'm too evolved mm-hmm. To say or even think of the P word. All right, Jeffrey. Number four is we got the dollars now on Aaron Rodgers. How much is he going to be making?
So, Jeff, I believe the number is $13 million with the possibility of getting it up to 18.
Okay, here's the thing.
13.65.
Everyone's ripping the Steelers for this signing, right? I haven't seen anyone say, what a great – the Steelers played this whole quarterback situation perfectly. I literally haven't seen that. I've seen – people ripping them and people saying, well, maybe there's a 5% chance of it. Or like, this is not the Steeler way. Can you believe this is what the Steelers have become? That the Steelers are throwing their organization over for this jackass? Like, that's been the tenor of things, right? Like, really? You're doing this again? You just did it with Russ and now you're doing it with Aaron Rodgers, a 42-year-old quarterback? That's what the Steeler way? I've not seen anyone defend it. How about the argument, though, that if you don't have your answer at quarterback, if you're paying, what's Geno making, 40-something? Wouldn't you rather have Aaron Rodgers at 13 than Geno at 40-whatever? You know, wouldn't you rather? Like, in the end, what they have is a cheap, dirt-cheap quarterback with a higher ceiling than maybe any other dirt-cheap quarterback in the league now that Brock Purdy's gotten his contract.
Okay.
What is wrong with that? If you don't have the answer, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Why not go for the dirt cheap quarterback?
I don't have a problem when you look at it that way. The bigger issue is the reason why you are in the position where you had to go and do this with Aaron Rodgers is that they're never willing to like be bad enough to get another quarterback. It's like they never had a plan after Ben. And that's kind of what
isn't that admirable? They don't want to suck.
I agree.
They don't want to tank. They always want to. They just want to win games.
I'm with you. I'm not saying that you should.
Is that the criticism? By the way, is the criticism that they were not willing to go get Kirk Cousins
or
not willing to get something else?
No, most of the criticism is that they've never been willing to develop. The closest thing they got was Pickett, and then they just gave up on him.
I think
very
it's
quickly.
Less of a criticism than it is an acknowledgement of the reality when you have Mike Tomlin as your head coach. That it is
they tough are, to be bad.
They are stuck because they have a coach who is good enough that you'll never be bad. And if you're not really bad, you've got to get incredibly lucky to find your next quarterback.
Yes.
And so I don't even think that's a criticism.
I mean, they could have done other things.
They could have moved on from Mike Tomlin.
Or but like Mike Tomlin I like Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin.
Well, then you can't. He's not. You have to acknowledge like, with part of having Mike Tomlin is you're never going to win two games.
I mean, are you telling
only
me
two
that,
games.
That they could not have made a trade for Jared Goff?
Like, no, they could have done.
You know what I mean? Like there are ways to get a quarterback like on that kind of, and especially I think now like they could have gotten Baker.
Well, that's the thing. You can argue that's the other criticism, that the swings they've taken, the cheap that they've taken are freaking Russ. Like, you knew Russ stunk. You yes. said it last week. I mean, last year. So that the swings that they've taken have not been, hell, would you rather have Daniel Jones?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, they're that's basically the same price.
Right. Why not go get, would you rather have Daniel Jones? But there you go. Colts are going to have Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers. You're trying to win a playoff game. Would you rather have Daniel Jones or Aaron Rodgers?
Probably, if it's this year, I'd probably rather have Rodgers. But I don't think Daniel's got awful. Like, I think when you watch Daniel throughout the course of a game,
that's high praise right there.
But like,
I
don't think Daniel's is like Daniel was scapegoated for a bad team. But like, my biggest problem with Daniel is A. Doesn't stay healthy because he like really puts his body on the line, and then B, he has like aggravating turnovers, and like in the end, like it's I've always felt like with Daniel, if Daniel could take care of the ball, he would be good.
The Steelers, don't you want a quarterback who takes care of the ball?
I mean, that's the problem.
The other NFL news: you got Nick Chubb is going to the Texans. Do you have high? Are you going to be drafting Nick Chubb's high in fantasy?
So I don't have high expectations, but I think it's fair to say like I root for Nick Chubb. Like anytime you see,
I did before he came a Texan. Now I don't. But that's fine. He obviously,
but like
he's
I don't have high. I do not have high hopes.
He's been a tremendous runner. And then I'm starting to worry a little about James Cook. You had Schefter over the weekend pointing out that like in the end, James Cook has to play for the Bills. But there are holdouts and there are holdouts.
Yep.
And I do think the selling your house holdout is a more meaningful, which is what he's done. He's put his house on the market. All that stuff. Like it feels like it's getting to be sort of bad blood. Time there. Bills haven't said anything negative about it, but you do wonder a little bit. I do think they
so
need
so is he just doing the math and saying they're not going to pay me and therefore
well
like,
he's asking for $15 million and he's not a $15 million. But here's the thing, no one's going to pay him. Like you couldn't trade him to a team that would give him $15 million. So no one's going to pay him. He's not worth $15 million.
All right, okay, there are three running backs that are $15 million.
Yeah, he's not worth it.
Derrick Henry, McCaffrey, Saquon.
So no one's going to give him $15 million. So I don't know what the hell he's thinking. But you know, I come in from a biased place. Number five. So I've resisted Jeffrey ever getting a food app, and then you drive up to the
McDonald's app,
and now I just feel like I'm giving free money away. So I discussed apps with my son Peter and with Claire, and I have downloaded two fast food apps. Care to guess which two? I bet you can guess which two.
So I definitely think you downloaded the McDonald's app because when you gave away the hint of free money,
everyone
that tells me you have to download the McDonald's app, it always comes from a place of these people like you can like wind up getting free food. And McDonald's, I feel like, is your most frequent fast food
stop. I have three most frequent. And it is one of the three most. It may be, yeah. I'll go get two cheeseburgers fairly way too often at McDonald's.
All right, so that's one.
That's true. Correct. How many do you have?
I'm holding strong.
You have none?
I'm holding strong.
Why don't you do it?
It's just the I don't like. I get it. I'm not actually protecting myself, but it's like a man has to have a code and just like. Just giving into the download the app so you can sell my data.
What I was told was that the Chick-fil-A app is the best app. That is what both Peter and Claire said. It doesn't feel scammy. It's
okay.
Clear. It's easy to use.
I should take it back.
It's a great app.
I have downloaded the Chick-fil-A app to get tickets from when someone hits like when they get to 100 or whatever.
You have.
I do have that.
So I downloaded that app. A lot of criticism in the Calkins household for the Starbucks app. A lot of criticism for the Starbucks app. I don't know what the
Aaliyah is obsessed with it.
She likes the Starbucks app?
Yes.
She likes the app.
But I think it's because Aaliyah
the grounds
hates
of the criticism.
Aaliyah, like, there's no...
She doesn't like walking into a place and ordering?
There's, like, no bigger difference between husband and wife than our view on, like, ordering online. She always wants to order online. I never want to order online.
No, we have the same thing. We have the same. It's also like if you have a problem or need to make a reservation or whatever else, I would always rather call, if I could, call 100%. And talk to someone if I thought they'd pick up within an hour and a half, right? Whatever. Whereas Claire will always go online to try to solve it online.
Yes.
Some people want to avoid the interaction with people. Other people seek out the interaction with people, and I'm one of the people. I actually like walking in there and saying I'd like this, you know. Now the problem is that when they ask if you are using your app and I say no, I always feel like when I'm saying no that I'm giving away free money. That I had an opportunity to be getting free money here and I am not, and so I'm a sucker. I should probably get the Taco Bell app. I do not. Those are the three that I go to most often. Chick-fil-A, Taco Bell, and McDonald's are the three that I do go to most often.
How does it feel, by the way?
I haven't used them.
Okay.
I haven't used them. That's going to be
Were you disappointed in yourself a little bit? Do you feel
no,
like you changed?
No, you know, I once upon a time didn't think I'd be on Twitter. I didn't think I'd carry a cell phone. I didn't think I'd like all that stuff. We all cave. We all cave ultimately. So just go ahead and cave today. That's my life advice. Mm-hmm. The other life advice I have is that if you have something that needs framing, take it to Frame Corner. You don't need an app. You just there. You walk in. And it's really part of the deal because you walk in with whatever you need framed, whether it's a collection of photos, whether it's your grandfather's Arrowhead collection, whether it's a golf ball. Because like Steve Connolly, you got your first hole in one last week. You take it to Frame Corner, 5035 Park Avenue, where they've been doing custom framing for 50 years. And they will do a beautiful job. They specialize in custom framing. It's Frame Corner, framecornermemphis.com. What is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Jeff will join them at 1:25 on today's program. Coach Hurd will be with me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jason Munns joins us at 2:35. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. For now, work is done.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.